Hi everyone, this is Joe Bunting and I am here with Dan Blank. Dan is the creator of WeGrowMedia.com, which is a really great website for writers and publishers, primarily focused on building your platform through social media. He's written for Publishers Weekly, Writer's Digest. He's spoken at dozens of conferences, including AWP, Thriller Fest, and Book Expo America. So Dan, it's so great to have you. Thank you for joining us today.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So I know you work a lot with writers, coaching writers on how to build their platform. How did you get involved with this? How did you get involved coaching writers?
So I spent a long time at a large media company, and I was working really closely with Publishers Weekly and Library Journal. And, you know, talking more and more kind of to the book industry in that format. In my deeper history, I've been a writer. I've always known artists and writers and musicians. And what I was finding is that I was working with these brands and with their communities more and more. This was really when the web was starting to shift things in terms of being able to connect to an audience. So this is, you know, in the mid-2000s. Became so intriguing to me that creators could now directly connect with their audience or with peers. Because I remember years ago in the 90s, you know, being in a band or writing a book or writing a magazine, you know, a small time thing in my little town. And even in my little town, I had a great little community, a cultural community, to just get a few people to care was so hard. You had like your little group, and this idea that you could reach people more broadly, I was seeing it from the perspective of these publishers and these big magazine brands, but it starts showing me the possibilities for that. So where I was going from was the idea of I work with a lot of publishers and a lot of agencies and the people that you can call in some ways the intermediaries of what happens here.
Yeah.
But you start realizing there's a source here, and the source is the creator. It's the writer. It's the person who creates something that did not exist before. It was either a story or an insight or a manual or something or a poem. So that became increasingly intriguing to me, and I just kind of kept going back down that rabbit hole.
That's great. So you teach a class called How to Grow Your Platform, How to Build Your Platform. What is a platform, and why is everyone telling me that I need one?
People define platform differently. I tend to define it as platform is two things. It is trust and communication. So the very practical way that works out are things such as understanding who the audience is you're hoping to reach. That's part of communication, is really understanding who you're targeting. And when you can understand that, you can understand more about them, what they care about, what they react to, what they desperately need. And then that means you can start crafting messages that can align with them. You might know where they're going to show up. You might know how to serve them better. And trust is sort of what underlies, I guess, all marketing to a certain degree, but certainly, you know, what we find with social media and with the walls that have come down,
yeah,
is that if you really want people to spend time with you, to give you their attention, you have to really build trust. And I think the idea of a platform is that it differs from publicity. Publicity is incredibly valuable. It's a very different thing than platform, but platform is about trust and communication. That takes time. That can take months and months to do. So that's part of the distinction for me. It's really about how you understand and communicate with other people, and then how you build a trusting relationship in that process.
Now, this is kind of a random question, but do you think platforms existed before social media and blogs and the internet? Was that there, or was it just publicity before that?
Really good question. I think that in the past, when we talk about scale, it was mostly publicity. It was mostly, I don't know how else to reach people other than through traditional media outlets. Now we have this really strange idea that what you could have done before, so when I was living in that small town, I had a platform within the confines of that town and that community. They knew me, they've seen me around, they've watched me work on the book, they saw a flyer, they saw me speak. So I had a platform, but it was very limited. It would not scale. The thing is now with digital media and the web, and even how the web then shapes in-person events like a meetup.com or something, suddenly a platform scales in a way that it never could have before.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it seems like everyone's talking about it, because suddenly this thing that we're comfortable with and we like from 10 years ago and before is suddenly scalable. And that's just mind-blowing in so many ways.
Yeah, that's so great. So most of the talk around platforms is geared towards nonfiction writers. You know, how a nonfiction author can build a blog, build an audience, and then transition that into a book, for example. Do fiction writers need platforms, and what's the difference there?
You don't need anything. You know, every writer has the opportunity now to live any kind of lead any kind of creative life that they want. So I would never say you need anything. What I tend to find with that is a fiction platform, I think, is in many ways different. And I see a lot of different viewpoints and experiences with that. But I do tend to find that, you know, when you view it, this idea of communication and trust, it's viewed from a different standpoint. So when I look at someone like, you know, Emma Straub, who writes fiction and she lives in Brooklyn, and she's very tied into the independent bookstore scene, into the literary community in New York. She goes to events, she travels around to bookstores. So in a way, she has a platform, and what she has is, again, communication to these people. She's hearing about events that work and what people book and how to get, you know, she's learning about how to kind of work that world of taking her idea and getting into a book that people want to read. And she's getting placement in Vogue magazine in the September issue. And then, you know, she's getting write-ups in the New York Times. And part of it is that she's understanding it. It's not just that they're hearing her communication, she's hearing their communication, and they're trusting her because she keeps showing up at these book readings literally with brownies, because that's one of her things she does. And she does work with Magnetic Fields, which is this really wonderful band. And her platform might be different than you would think of a platform being for a lawyer who wrote a book about how to go to law school. It's always not a one-to-one ratio. The platform, in some ways, for her as a fiction writer, is her. She's not saying, I wrote a book about a Hollywood starlet in the early part of the 20th century, and I've got a blog all about starlets in the early part of 20th century. It's just her passion, her perspective, and she becomes the platform, which I think is a distinction. It's one way of having a platform.
That's interesting. So is it possible, you know, she lives in New York and she's able to kind of connect with those people. Is it possible to build an online platform, you know, through a blog or through Twitter, as a fiction author, and have it be that kind of similar personality driven thing?
I really think so. So I just got off a call just literally half hour ago. It was with a group from California of writers who talk about things, and we were doing it via Google Hangout, and people are joining the call and they're hosting it. I've become this enormous fan of YouTube, of vloggers, and I am astounded at the connection that you make on video and with eyes and with voice, and how just on YouTube you can get such an almost personal connection with people. I think that you can. I think that it will be different for each person or for each community you try to reach. And I think that that's almost the opportunity and the double-edged sword of, you have so many opportunities to do that. You've got to be really mindful of how you do that. What is that persona? How are you connecting with people? When are you being selfish but don't realize it? And I think that's very pervasive, is people genuinely feel like, I'm giving back, I'm sharing, but in a way they're screaming for attention at the same time. They're not always self-aware of where that line is.
That's so interesting. I mean, I love that you're talking about platform as bigger than just a blog, you know. Usually the way that I've heard it is it's just this blog that you create and eventually, you know, you build an audience. But you're saying that it can be YouTube and it can be these in-person meetings and it can be any kind of form of interaction that builds trust and connection with other people.
Absolutely. And that's where I think it becomes really powerful is when you start mixing things. I'm especially a big fan of the idea of mixing offline to online. That, you know, really powerful way to leave an impression on someone is to email them. That, you know, I've seen a lot of people commenting that, you know, oh, I have this blog. And it used to be when people read my blog, they would comment on the blog post. Now instead, they leave a comment or share it on Twitter or Facebook. And what that means is that I don't always see their comments, but that person wants to own their comment in a channel that they own in a way. And it takes the conversation away from the blog. What I like nowadays, the idea that I can read someone's blog post and send them an email. And people don't do that often enough. I'm a very big fan of someone I find is really inspiring to me, really interesting. They're anywhere in the New York area, I'll reach out and see if they want to have coffee or get lunch. And it's usually there's a process in there first. I don't kind of jump out and say, I want to see you in person. But there's sort of that process there, that ability. And I find that that's where a lot of trust is built. And that's where, to me, it becomes a relationship, which is life. And that, you know, that's what we're doing here. We're connecting with people who are inspired by, and that's really important.
I found that that was an effective way for me to build my platform just with the right practice, where I would see these people comment on the blog kind of regularly, and then I would reach out for a phone conversation to get to know them more. And that was in the early days of the right practice, and I can't do that as much now, but what I found was that, those people would stick around for forever. They're still around. And it builds such a wonderful relationship that went past the block.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something that happens over time, that's for sure. And that becomes the opportunity. You have a lot of choices to do that. I think too many people, they're you know, there's a lot of, you know, people give advice, and it has to be this kind of straight arrow. You know, you want something for yourself, and you kind of make this one-to-one, almost selfish kind of ratio of like, you find the influencers, and then you know, offer them something, give back, and then they'll do this for you. And it's this sort of thing where you're sort of, you know, it's this idea where it sounds enticing in a way, but everyone's doing it, and there's a lot of value lost in that. And the value is actually the community and the connection and the sense that we're doing this because we have a shared passion, not because we're both trying to get revenue or get attention.
That's great. So, I mean, how then does this connect to, sharing your book with the world? How does it lead, in your experience, to book sales and book, your book, book reviews, those kinds of things, that are kind of that revenue, that metric of tracking?
I mean, one thing I always think about is I feel like too many people put the ultimate metric in the wrong place. They think that if I can get you to buy my book for $12 or $8.99, that's the ultimate, the culmination of our relationship. And it's almost like I'm done with you. And really, that should be the start of something more, because you think about the ultimate goal of writing and publishing is that you have these ideas, these stories, this information, this expertise, this new amalgamation, this poem, and you want it to spark something in people. Maybe you don't want it to be a relationship with you, and that's fine, but you want it to be something else. And what you're hoping is that something extends beyond that, that they talk about it, that they mull it, that they remix it in their head in some way, shape, or form. So what I often find is what's interesting is what happens after that. And I think that we often get a little too off track. I had someone, you know, I always ask people, you know, what's your biggest challenge? And someone recently said something like, you know, oh, it's, you know, I put my book out. It's really hard to get newspaper reviews. That was like their biggest challenge. The only context they gave me, I thought it was a really interesting measure, is that they had convinced themselves in some way that a newspaper review is the validation they're looking for. And I felt like, is that it? Is that the ultimate validation? Because I feel like we're missing a lot of pieces to the puzzle here of what else this could be. I feel like I might have gone off track on the answer on the question, though. So if
No,
you
I
need
mean,
to re-ask it, let me know.
I just love, I love this, Dan, because you're drawing us deeper into the reason we started writing in the first place. You know, the reason we started writing is maybe because we got we read a book that really powerfully affected us, and we wanted to say thank you, you know, or we wanted to show them, we wanted to give someone else that same feeling. And I think we've tried to measure that feeling or measure that change through book sales or how much money you make, but that's not really our goal. That's not really why we became writers. So this is, I just love it.
Thank you.
That's great. Well, thank you so much, Dan, for talking with us today. Everyone, you can find Dan at wegrowmedia.com. Is there anything else that you want to tell us before you go?
No, I just appreciate the chance to talk to you. I'm obviously a fan of the work you're doing, so thank you for spending time to chat.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dan.